Yeah, talking about Tecovas. Love Tecovas boots. Some of my favorites here. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it out to a store, visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Yeah, talking about LiquidIV.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated. We'd have headaches. We'd be tired, exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work. We'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover.
Hangover.
Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus eight vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Whoa, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay. I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution!
Oh, man. You hear that? You know what that is?
No.
That is the sigh of a man who is satisfied in this world.
Really?
Oh, boy.
What is it that's satisfying? Is it?
It is.
Me? Is it?
No, not even close. Ooh. It is a fine malt beverage that is back. It's back on American soil. I'm talking about Zima.
Back.
Bow, bow, ow, ow.
Back in the New York groove.
You know what I did today, Japes?
What'd you do?
I bought.
Worked?
I did work.
Sure.
But after work.
And?
One of our fine listeners. Had sent me a bunch of our listeners have been like, yo, Zima's back,
right?
Let's get ready to rumble, you know, exactly like the opening. And I felt everybody's excitement. I was like, like I said in the last episode, four stores and 7 years ago, I still got nothing,
right?
So I got fucking a sack full of dicks.
Everyone else has it.
I got a sack full of dicks, no fucking balls. And what I found out was that our listeners cared. They really cared. And I want to get this correct because it was Ryan St. Louis Hughes, which is, dude, St. Louis Hughes is arguably one of the greatest names of all time.
Yeah.
Ryan, so this episode's to you, Ryan St. Louis Hughes. It sounds like a sweet-ass baseball player from the 1890s.
Yeah.
Who still holds, like, all the records for pitching where you're like, oh, man, nobody's thrown a no-hitter since 1892 and Ryan St. Louis Hughes. that's what that name sounds like. He had sent me a photo and said, hey, bruh, you get that Zima? And I was like, no, but apparently you did.
Right,
and
he goes, shut up.
Bro, Walmart. And I was like, what? Went to Walmart after work. Boom, boom. Zima all over my face. Like, and not only that, but like there was a woman because it was a long beer aisle / wine aisle at Walmart. I didn't, truth be told, I didn't even know they sold fucking beer and wine in that motherfucker.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know. I had no idea.
You're about to learn.
Well, in my Walmarts and all of my dealings before moving to North Carolina, they didn't have food or beverages. So it was just like, I didn't have it. Roll in there. And there was a woman with blonde, bleach blonde hair next to me. And probably, I'd say late 40s, early 50s. I turned, because I was looking for Zima. Nothing. I got nothing. I turned the corner and it had its own section, like off to the side. And I audibly gasps like a woman. I was like, God. I was taken aback.
You're
dumb. I was like, oh, like that. Right. That's, I was, oh,
sure.
Like
sure,
it was,
sure.
It was a real audible gasp. And I was like, oh my God. And like, I was wearing gym shorts and I wasn't sure. Like if my penis had gone forward like 2 inches and like,
right,
like
a
poked
semi?
Out. Yeah. Well, like a chub, not like a semi, you know?
Oh, I don't know the difference.
Well, you're going to learn the difference tonight.
Because it's going to be only semi.
Yeah. Cause a chub was just like, oh my, like a chub is like a hand pushing open a curtain. You know, where you're like, oh.
Oh, man, like just for a second.
Yeah. Semi is like. You're semi-hard, but it's still going down. Like you're it's still leaning downward. You're still in downward dog. It's got no upward movement. This was like a hand kind of pushing at a curtain where you're like, oh, I don't like, you ever see those big old curtains at hotels where you don't know where the break is in the curtain? So you're kind of just pushing your hand against it like, man, where is that break? I just want to get some sunlight in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that was. And this woman just turned back at me and she was like, oh, and looked at me and then looked at the Zima and was like, you're that excited about this? And I looked at her and I was like, how aren't you this excited about this?
Like, lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she was getting fucking Bud Lights, platinum. And I was like, get the fuck out of here, Holmes. Like,
did you say that to her?
I didn't say that to her.
Okay.
That would have been rude.
I didn't know.
Instead, I was more annoyed with her of like, hey, can you just fucking grab your shit and shuttle the fuck on and let me enjoy my moment here? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I felt like, I felt like Morgan Freeman at the end of Shawshank Redemption. Like, I looked around, you know, I was already at the tree and like, you know, I'd seen the rock and I'm looking in that
you're
box.
Sitting down. Yeah.
But you look over your shoulder like, hey, is anybody else around? Like, cool. Cause I just want to, whatever's in this box, I just want to enjoy by myself. I don't want another stranger fucking this up.
Right.
And that's who that woman was to me in that moment. And I was just like, just grab your fucking platinum and get the fuck out of here.
Bye.
Yeah. And so
Bye.
It was just me and then the stand of Zima. And fuck, man. Obviously, I Instagram storied it because I was just that excited. Just got out of the gym. I was Josh Brolin'd up, you know.
Right.
Had a headband on.
Sure.
And this, you know, fuck, man. I was enjoying my own.
What a
shit.
Day! What a time to be alive!
What a fucking.
You know what I mean?
What I mean?
How great for you!
What
really
a time to be a rooster! You know?
Yeah.
Here comes the rooster. That's what I felt like when I was looking at the Zima and I was like, shit. You know, so I storied that on Instagram. Then my first thought was, all right, well, fuck. How many of these can I fit in my cart? You know,
mm-hmm.
I got a good six packs in the goddamn cart, you know? And I was like, all right, cool.
Because
I had to carry out to the car and the whole shit. And I was like, I'm coming back, obviously.
Sure.
When I got to the register, I even videoed the woman. as I was excited, not only for me, but for her, mm-hmm. you know, because she got to see the excitement in my eyes as I came up with all this shit.
And
she was
like, brightened her day.
Yeah, yeah. It was a brightened her day. And she was like, oh, I didn't know that was back. And I was like, you know what it is? It's goddamn back. And let's remember this day. Let's forget about who we voted for. Let's forget about who we are as people.
Right.
And let's just embrace over this, yeah. over fucking Zima. And I looked at her before she rang this up, and I was like, before you ring this up, can you point me to where the Jolly Ranchers are?
Yes.
And she goes, I can. They're right over there, sir. And I was like, I mean, we were speaking the same language. Zima, I don't know her background. She was of Latin descent. I don't know her background. She didn't know my background. We didn't know each other, but we had formed a bond over this.
Yeah.
We had formed a bond over Zima and Jolly Ranchers that, I'm going to be honest, it can't be broken. If I get an invitation in the mail to her godson's wedding, we're fucking going.
Right.
I don't care if it's in Guatemala.
Yeah, I'll
go. We're going. We're going because I feel a kinship now to her.
Right.
And tonight, as we sit on air together. I'm drinking this Zima like a goddamn
champion.
Yeah,
what's the flavor that your go-to Jolly Rancher flavor in there?
Watermelon.
Watermelon, always, right?
So I throw a watermelon in there.
Sure. Boom. Yeah.
I might even have to write a rap song about it.
Really?
I might even have to. Look, everybody knows my rap songs are the greatest goddamn gift of all time to the universe. I think this has inspired me to write a rap song about Zima. If I get behind the microphone on this, it's over.
Lights out.
It's fucking over. We have a summertime anthem on our hands.
Right.
So I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to write a rap song about Zima.
I think the world wants it and they need it.
They need
and,
it.
You
they
know,
need
we're
it.
Going through such a crazy time.
Wow. Are we?
Know?
Are we?
I mean, I don't think so, but that's what everyone keeps telling me.
Ma'am.
So that's what everyone keeps telling me. They tell me it's a crazy time.
Motherfucker, I am. And I'm going to be honest. This is the most joy I've felt in my heart in a long time.
That's really great.
Yeah. Yeah. But we got some sponsors who bring a lot of joy to my life. So let's get cracking with them, shall we? Let's get a little Ernie McCracken with them. First up, we get straightrazors.com. Look, if you haven't held a Zima before, and let's say you're going out for the first time, you're going to get them this summer, and you're like, what's the bottle feel like? It's got these smooth grooves in it. And the only way you can get smooth grooves like that on your face is to use a straight razor from straightrazors.com. It is the finest shave in the land. It is Father's Day this weekend. It is time to thank your father and get him the gift of shaving. They've got aftershave. They've got cologne. They've got shampoos, conditioners, dop kits, you name it. They got safety razors in case, you know, you've never used a straight razor before. Go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION, and you get 20% off. It's almost like you're stealing that shit. Their aftershave smolder, that's the one I recommend.
Me too.
That's my jam. Next up, we got a little StrikeForceEnergy.com. You know what? On the next round of Zimas, I'm gonna throw a little Strikeforce in my Zima. I bet you that's the
shit. Oh my gosh,
dude! I bet you if you threw grape,
dude.
Fucking Strikeforce and Zima, good night,
holy
everyone.
Holy shit!
Yeah, it'd be the fucking jam.
Why didn't we do that? What the heck?
I don't know, but it's coming. Look, I'm just glad that the summer's here. Zima's back, and it's going to be a great summer. It's going to be a great summer. You know what will make that a great, great summer is if you get some Strike Force and throw it in Zima. It's a liquid, by the way. It's not
I
powder.
Would do that.
Yeah, liquid on liquid. It'll keep your energy going. It's almost like having a Red Bull and vodka, except it's good, actually.
Yeah, except for it actually tastes good.
God, Red Bull always tastes like battery acid to me. And so I had Strike Force Energy, and I was like, oh, shit, finally. You know what? You know what's fucked up? That company's going to blow up, too.
What?
I wish I owned part of Strikeforce Energy. For real. Like, I wish I owned, like, a massive chunk of them.
Right.
Like, I'm talking, like, 75%
yeah.
of Strikeforce Energy.
Like a
Energy.
Shark Tank
yeah.
deal.
I wish it was like Kevin O'Leary.
Hi, like, Sharks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Do you like to do you like your dick to be hard all day long?
All day long? Then you're going like Strike Force Energy.
Strike Force Energy. All right, sharks, who wants to strike the force?
As you can tell, like I think it was Bruce Lee who invented it, and God damn, that motherfucker is gonna be like obscenely rich one day.
Right.
It's one of those products that's so good that when you have it, you're like, oh shit, they fucking did it. I'm way off the fucking grid on this one. I'm just speaking out loud right now. But big fan of Strikeforce Energy. If you couldn't tell, Jesus. Go to StrikeforceEnergy.com. Type in the promo code Revolution. You get 20% off. You know what? They just sent me the new 10 pack of the grape. Get a 10 pack of grape if you haven't tried this shit. And then put it in your waters or beers or Kool-Aids or whatever. It'll tear your dick off. You become addicted to it like we are. We're addicted to this shit. Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION. You get 20% off. Last but not least, we got A Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. Jables. Sounded like Scooby-Doo at the end of that one.
Yes. I was like, what happened at the end?
What happened at the end?
Yeah.
You know what happens at the end of A Night She Cries While He Rides a Steed? A man becomes an even greater man. It's the funniest book ever written. If you like Blazing Saddles or Airplane or any of that shit, it's crazy as fuck. It's also extremely vulgar. It was banned from Walmarts, so you're welcome. You can pick up a copy for your father this Father's Day on Amazon.com. Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com, all the .coms have it. It's in bookstores everywhere. It's sold out a lot of places, and I keep getting emails of like, hey, man, it's sold out here. They don't carry enough copies. Like, they only get 5 a month in bookstores around the globe, and they're usually fucking gone, and you're like, oh, man, one would think that wouldn't be enough to push it number one. No, there's only like 600 or 700 Barnes & Nobles left, so if you think about it, it's only like, you know, it's not enough copies.
It's another fucking online situation.
Everything like, is every going time online. I go, it's like, Jesus Christ.
I'll go to Barnes & Noble and ask for a book, and they'll be like, well, we can order it for you, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, motherfucker, I can order it for me.
I can order it for me. I wanted to patron.
Yeah, buy shit. Who is it? Who is the last book? Kat Marnell's book,
Murder Your Life.
We tried to get that, and it was just like, fuck. We went to like 3 different stores. They didn't have it. Finally, we just got off of Amazon. We're like, fuck you guys.
I picked it for my book club.
Go to Amazon.com,
And they were like all pissed because you couldn't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, whatever.
And it's a bestseller.
I know. It's and like did on. Amazing.
Yeah. So everything is online now.
They're grooming us.
Yeah, exactly.
Being groomed.
We're being groomed. Just go to Amazon.com and call it a fucking
go
day.
Go to Amazon.com. Walmart, right?
Yeah. I had to go to Amazon.
You can go to Barnes & Noble.
By the way, speaking of which, we'll catch back up from a few episodes ago when I was bitching about Best Buy not having those fucking drives.
Yes, same.
Today, I just went to Amazon, got the drive, and it had, you know what it had? An extra terabyte on there.
Isn't that great?
5 terabytes. Fuck you guys.
It'll be here tonight, actually, probably.
Yeah. Remember the last thing I ordered? They were like, we have a Sunday. It'll be delivered on Sunday for free.
Like,
and I was like, what, motherfucker? And it showed up on Sunday. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. I'm going to be the last one like holding on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like everybody else will be ordering online and it'll be me like still trying to go into the store and like touch the product first.
Yeah.
And it'll just the whole world, every store will be like Kmart on College.
Yeah.
You know?
I which is closing, by the way. They're going.
I know.
I'm
just saying like, but when you walk in there, it's like I am legend. And everyone's like, why are you coming in? Yeah, why are you coming in here?
There's a fucking stray dog walking down the aisles of Kmart. I know. When we got that Amazon package on a Sunday and I went out they ring the doorbell. You know, I got out, went out the front door and all the neighbors were out there and they were looking at me like, man, I think my neighbors think I'm selling dope. They were like, why is there a mailman in your house on a Sunday? What the fuck did you do to get a mailman to come to your house on a Sunday?
And I was like,
Amazon's doing it for free now, so why not?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting spooky out there. It's getting spooky out there. Kmart is really fucking spooky. Like that, I had to buy some emergency luggage in there on a flight.
But it was like that, right?
Exactly like that. It literally was like I Am Legend, where you're just the lights were flickering.
Yeah,
and you can hear them. You know that.
And then it's like the music.
Yeah. I walked up to the register. I got no help in the store, and there was nobody working there. And I was like, motherfucker, is this open? I go up to the register at the front, and the woman looked at me like, get out.
Yeah. Like she came like, from like behind the the
and
partition.
And
like
she was like,
oh, hello.
She goes, did you find everything you needed today? And I go,
does
yeah,
it fucking
yeah, what,
matter?
But I go, yeah, I did. And she was like, really?
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I did. I was like, there was nobody in here, but I was like, I feel like I had the run of the place myself, you know?
Yep.
Super fucking strange.
That's how Office Depot is now too.
Oh yeah,
it's
yeah,
just like,
yeah.
Ging, 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 ging.
Super
and you're like,
depressing. So
you're like, dude, fucking yeah. I get my office chairs there. That's about the only thing they can do for me because they put it together.
Yeah, they put it together.
I can't have the box coming with 20.
Nobody wants to put that fucking.
No. And especially like an office chair. Those parts are. It's a little bit advanced. Like I can do like an IKEA desk or something.
Right.
But when there's like a swivel thing and an up and down thing,
it's too much.
You know. Anyway, so they'll. Again, I'm going to be the I'm going to be hanging on by a thread. I'm going to be the only one going into that store.
You know what, Amazon is offering now, by the way?
What?
People to fucking set up your shit. For an extra $29, we can build that for you. We'll send somebody else to the fucking house. Dead serious. Which is genius when you're like, oh, shit. Yeah, fuck. Come
I
on,
mean,
put that
of
together.
Course.
I know.
Yes.
Like there was I was looking at a TV and they were, you know, like a flat screen.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we can have somebody put the bracket in your wall for you. And I was like, fuck.
Oh, well, yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. And I was all, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, it's the future. It's the fucking future, man. You're ordering people online come and show up at your house without even talking to them. You're just hey, it's getting
weird.
It's
made of people.
It's getting weird. And I hate to be one of those people who like harps on the past, but like, I guess it's because I write to music so much that like music has been a big part of my life and always has been. Mm-hmm. I remember going to the fucking stores at midnights to get the goddamn CD when like new bands came out with new shit. Like I was waiting at like Turtles and fucking Tower Records, shit like that, like to get that new CD or tape or whatever it was at midnight just because I wanted new shit. And I enjoyed that feeling standing in line with other people who were just as excited about the band that you were excited about. You know what else I miss? Standing in line at Ticketmaster or finding a weird Ticketmaster. I do. And I'll tell you why. Because one would think, Ross, go fuck yourself. That's total bullshit. It's not. And here's why. When I stood in line at Ticketmaster, I knew it was like, you know, 20, 15 people ahead of me. At least I knew I was getting tickets to my event and I was going to get in somehow. I didn't know where those tickets would be.
Right.
But I was getting in because I was there and, you know, nobody else is here yet. So I'll still get tickets. You go online now and try to order tickets to Ticketmaster. You know, fucking they all go on sale at 10 a.m. on a Friday at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. You go in, you see the spinning fucking rainbow dial and you know, you're like, oh, shit, this entire event is sold out around the world. In 50 seconds, I'm going to have to buy them from a scalper from fucking 13 times the price on eBay or whatever. Like, I know I'm not getting tickets.
Right.
Like,
or you're going to have to wait for Taylor Swift to come another time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have to wait for the Hansons to go on another reunion tour. But like that, and that's what's shitty about it, where it's just like, fuck, I know there's no way you're getting in because you're up against like, you know, robots and computers and 9 million. But yeah, it fucking sucks. Whereas I knew if goddamn, you know, Travis Tritt was coming to fucking Atlanta, that I could go and wait in line and be like, all right, cool. 15 motherfuckers ahead of me. I'm getting tickets for Travis Tritt. Like,
yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah. Lucky.
Lucky. And that was rad. Now it's just like, oh, hey, guess what? Sorry. Are you a robot? Type in this fucking 90-letter obscure thing that's just like, it might as well be in Braille. You can't read through the shit where it's like, it's nine letters and like numbers that are pressed in through like a paper bag. It looks like a frozen Han Solo. Where you're trying to guess the numbers and the digits in there, and you're like, I don't know. And then it's like, oh, would you like to hear the word? And you press that thing, and it's like, E9B467. And you can't keep up with the fucking computer, and you're like, man, fuck you. The other thing that's even worse is when they put the pictures up on the screen, they put up like 12 pictures and they're like, which one of these pictures has an office storefront? Which one of these pictures has a street sign in it? And then you have to type, like, out of the 12 pictures, you have to click on the 9 different ones that have the street sign. You're like, that looks like a, it might be a street sign in, like, Europe, but it's not a street sign here. Do I click that one? Or are they throwing me off like, oh, that's a European street. That's not an American street sign. What's the fucking, what am I clicking here? And that type of bullshit I don't need. Right. I'd rather go down, hang out with the fucking people at Ticketmaster or whatever the Ticketmaster outlet is. You know, cause usually it was in a grocery store or, again, like at a Tower Records or some shit. You could always find somebody with weed in line. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you can always hang out with them, smoke some weed. Mm-hmm. Fucking, all right, cool. We're getting tickets to Travis Tritt. What the fuck we're doing? Can't do that anymore. Can't fucking do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I'll take it a step further. Once they went digital with shit, it was like all the tickets were online, they still kept the Ticketmaster stores open. So therefore, while everybody was trying to fight it out on the internet and kept getting the spinning dial, I would roll in and be the one and only person in line at Ticketmaster and be like, hey, I want my tickets. And they were like, great, here's your printed off tickets.
Oh.
Yeah, because I was the only one left. And then what happened was, you know,
that's going to be me.
Mid to late 2000s, they shut down the stores and like, you got to get it all online. And I was like, fuck you. I've been buying tickets, you know, eBay and Publicis and all that other shit ever since. And I'm like, man, this is bullshit. It's bullshit. But that's me. You know?
Yeah. No, but that's going to be me. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're going to be Radio Shack. Just being like, "Hey,
I'm going to be in Radio Shack." Yeah.
And it's not
there's a Radio Shack in Ventura in my hometown.
There's a Radio Shack here?
There is?
Oh yeah, I went.
Oh.
I went.
Is there a Circuit City? Mall.
They didn't by the way, they didn't have shit. And the one thing I tried to buy from them, again, ironically was a hard drive. I had to take it back like 2 hours later. And I was like, motherfucker, did I not tell you I needed something for both Mac and PC interchangeable? Well,
Wait, remember Circuit City?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Circuit City was the jam.
The jam,
that
dude.
Was the first. That was the first Best Buy.
We would just go
Best
like,
Buy
as
just ripped
family,
off Circuit City.
Yeah. We would just go as a family and just like look at electronics sometimes. Like not buy
not?
Anything,
yeah.
But it was just like full, like that was the place that was like full of all the new things.
Yeah.
And
when,
like
when
the
you
million
went in there,
TVs and like.
To me, Circuit City was like hopes and dreams.
It
where,
was.
Where you walk in there and you're like, man, someday I'm getting that big ass TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Someday I'm getting all these fucking games.
It felt like
Nintendo.
They were
going to
have robots there.
Yes.
Like and, that's where the robots were going to be.
They were going to be sold.
Yeah.
And you were like, yo, man, someday I'm going to get this. Someday I'm going to get that. That Circuit City to me was the hopes and dreams of like later on in life.
Because
you would see the look on your parents' faces when they were like, oh, shit, I wish I could get that new fridge.
Right.
Or, oh, man, I'd love to have that new dish. Man, I'd love to have a TV like that to watch the game on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember it. And then, you know, as you grow older, you're like, man, fuck. You walk in and have the same dreams.
Yeah.
Like, shit, I'd love to have that.
I remember getting the elusive VCR DVD combo.
Boom.
Player,
at
right?
Circuit City, yeah.
The obsolete, obviously now,
yeah.
But at the time, that was like, we got the newest.
It was amazing.
Thing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
All that shit's
fuck
gone.
It. Whatever. Fuck it, families, robots.
Yeah,
you know,
and look,
online.
I don't want to seem like, oh man, everything in the past was better. It wasn't. The convenience of Amazon. The convenience of Amazon is super simple.
Yes. We're just nostalgic.
Yeah,
you know?
and what I'm saying, like, as far as this nostalgia goes, is there came something along, like there came a little caveat along with it to me, where it was just like, all right, you might not have any money when you were younger or whatever, and you could walk in, you could at least dream about shit and look at shit. Now you're just looking at shit online and it's like, fuck, I can look at anything on goddamn line and be like, all right, cool. This it was the scope of it and how big it seemed and how like you could touch this dream that may or may not come true, where you're like, all right, cool. Now you're just looking at shit online and you're like, fuck it, that was on Kim Kardashian's thing today, like big deal, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Circuit City and all that shit was like, man, Fuck, did you open up that fridge? I could stick like two dead bodies in there. Damn.
I have, though, like a disease, I have nostalgia, like really bad. It's just like how I live my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where like everything's like super easy and better now in a lot of ways.
Right.
But I like, no matter what it is, I'll like long for like another and easier time, you know?
Huh.
Nostalgia. Like I have it.
Yeah. I like, look.
It sucks because you can't like just be stoked on like every, you know what I mean?
Well, I look at it like, just thinking about it out loud right now. I look at it like this. All that shit I dreamed of as a kid, I kind of have right now. And so, therefore, like, I wouldn't have gone in there anyways anymore to be like, oh, shit, and dream about stuff. Where now I'm more about convenience now, where it's just like, how can I get this shit the fastest to my door? Because I got to fucking work. Like, I got to do other things. Where I guess back in the past, and this is, again, where the nostalgia comes from, you dream about shit, and it's about that dream, and you get to go in and see it and do all the shit.
And that's fun.
It is fun.
Like, that I part, that, even if you don't have, 100%. Like, you don't have the money, you don't even know if it'll ever happen, the fun of that
100%.
Is what I miss. And, like, I was thinking about today, just, like, even that idea of, like, not really worrying about anything. And just like driving around your shit town.
Yeah.
Like the place I live now is so much better. But like, why do you miss like just driving around in your shitty car? Was it because you like didn't have stress? Is it just nostalgia? Is just like a thing? Doesn't matter what. I don't know.
No,
that's a little bit of a like weird place to go. But like, it's not hard. Like, it's hard.
I don't. It's oddly enough, I had this conversation today with somebody else separately. I don't miss, because everybody's like, oh, it's about the struggle.
And then, I don't miss the struggle.
I don't either. And somebody was like, oh man, it's about the struggle. And then once you make it to whatever success you've made, then you miss that struggle. That's not, for me, that's not true. Like I don't miss that struggle at all. It was fucking.
I don't miss the struggle. I miss like the parts in the struggle where you weren't struggling about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There were times where you just go, fuck it, man. I don't have shit. But I've got my fucking buddy. I've got a couple Zimas, which we can now be you had a couple Zimas.
Yeah.
You could go down the street and get some Jolly Rancher. I don't know if you're a lot more like always driven and always looking forward.
Always, yes.
Than I am.
Yes.
But there's something about, like there's something about that time where like you don't have shit. And it's like kind of awesome. And I can't really explain it. I don't like saying the journey or the struggle, but right. Like,
well,
that's
what it is. That's exactly what you're describing.
Oh, okay.
The journey and the struggle. So like I, for me, as I was going through it, it's.
You didn't have any moments in that time where you were just like, man, in that one time we like didn't have shit and we like got, you know, somehow managed a pizza and watched this movie or snuck into this place and it was like fucking awesome.
It's
or is this too weird of a?
No, it's not at all. It's not too weird of a thing to bring up at all. To me, I guess I was so driven all the time that I was always doing shit that like I didn't have that. There was always still something in the back of my mind that was like, all right, you still got to do this tomorrow and do this tomorrow and do this tomorrow.
It goes along with this, like the times when you could, like back in the day when you could do acid or shrooms because you didn't have the stress.
Right.
And right. Like, you know, I don't threaten me with a good time or to chill. Like I've always been able to fucking find the chill or find the like good time, right?
Oh, yeah.
So like, I guess.
You? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you are driven and you're always looking forward and it's hard for you to like even enjoy the like successes because you're always looking to the next thing that you have to do. Whereas I'm like looking for the pockets in the struggle and in the stressful life to just like enjoy it because I know I'm going to miss it. It's almost like I have nostalgia as I'm doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where I'm like, fuck, I'm going to like look back on this. Like, I got to make it good because you're going to look back on it. You're always going to look back on it, right? So what do you want to think about? That I just kept looking forward and I was just like, you know?
No, I remember one point where I had let everything go and not concentrate on the journey and the struggle.
And that's when my entire career and everything felt like.
What's that?
And that's when everything fell apart is the moral of the story, right?
No. Oh, no. Okay. It was a strange point in life where I was doing so many projects at the same time. I was in post-production on 3 films at the same time. And there was a death in the family and some other shit had happened. And like, I just said, fuck it to everything across the board and just I did whatever I wanted. And mm-hmm. like that moment I can look back on and be like, all right, that was one, that was like, that was probably the last time where I wasn't always thinking about forward. Where I was just like, all right, here's, I don't know, 4 days, I think it was, where it was just like, fuck it. And blew it out. Like, you know, didn't think about any of that shit.
Moral of the story, though, did it like ruin anything or?
It didn't.
Did you? Yeah.
It didn't. And
did
and
you actually have a good time or you were kind of thinking the whole time?
No. Yeah. I actually had a fucking fantastic time, but right. like.
But you can't sustain that.
But I think it was because there was so much chaos going on that like it was just mind overload where it was just like, I can't listen to this anymore. It felt like there was four different songs playing at the same time.
Sure.
By different artists. And you're just like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. So fuck it. And yeah, I just did whatever I wanted to for like 4 days where you were like, oh, fuck. But that's probably the last time. Probably the last time that happened. I forget what year that was. I want to say it was 2010.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm even tracking down that year is that's still a long time, like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Where I haven't been thinking about something going forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy long time.
Right.
And then before that, I don't think I could, I think. No, I think 2006 was the other time.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's like 2 times in the last, 11 years? Shit, just talking about this out loud, that's weird.
Yeah.
I can remember both instances. But everything for me has always been future, looking forward. Like, you know, I'm good at living it, like enjoying the moment that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like really, really blocking everything out, where it's just like, oh shit, it's very rare. Very rare.
All right.
But tonight with these Zimas and Jollies.
I'm glad you had those 2 times in your life.
It's not in my entire life. Because if you look at.
No, I'm joking.
If you look at.
All right.
Up through college. All the way through college.
Yeah.
Jesus, man. High school and college, like zero fucks given where it was just like amazing.
But that's the time I'm talking about where you don't have to actually set aside time to be like, I'm doing whatever I want. That was just like life, right?
Yeah. But,
you know what I mean? Like your mindset wasn't, man, I got to relax. I got to take a vacation. Remember, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But so, I will say this. Looking back on all of it now, since we're talking about it, if I hadn't had that forwardness and direction with all of this shit, all of this cool shit now, like, would never have happened. So
yeah, that's a given though.
It was worth it. Like,
yeah,
I don't look back and be like, oh man, I wish I would have had more carefree days or whatever. No, I would have missed shit. I would have missed work things and scripts and books and movies. And I just wouldn't have got it done.
Right.
So hopefully that'll propel later where you're like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, cause I don't know when the age is where it's appropriate that you can drop mushrooms again. Without getting too heavy in your mind.
I don't know. You have to be at a certain point where you don't have the stress of that. Where
yeah.
you're like just fucking so rich or you're so beyond.
Kids too. Because you, no matter what, let's say you go out of town and do mushrooms. Or let's say you're fucking you know, get a hotel or a cabin in the woods or whatever mm-hmm. the fuck it is with your buddies mm-hmm. and your new mushrooms or something, you're still going to worry about your kids or yeah, what's yeah. going to happen. Like, oh my gosh, I should keep the phone on me in case a babysitter, something fucked up. Like,
yeah.
That carefreeness, even when you're married, you can't really do that. Like, single is still when you're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Because even then you're like, shit, job, whatever it is. Like, right. Yeah. But I wonder when that point is later in life where you're like, yo.
I think I'm cool with not doing it again, but like, we'll see. Like, I might be one of those like older gals.
You know, I've always wanted to do
that. Drops.
Ayahuasca in Peru.
Yeah. And I'm coming around to the idea. But, I'm
going to get like a tattoo. A shaman, obviously, you know?
I'm going to get a tattoo late in life.
What are you going to get?
I don't know.
You haven't thought about it?
No. Well, I mean, I already
know the rest of the tattoos I want to get.
I have things that I've like looked at and been like, oh, that's awesome. But I don't want to get it right now.
Right.
So I don't know. Might change when I get older, but I definitely want to get like a late in life tattoo.
Okay.
And
how big?
Not that big, just kind of like from my shoulder blade over a little bit. So you can kind of like peek over the shoulder, kind of.
Right.
But yeah.
You want to get the clown from It?
Yeah.
Peeking over your shoulder.
Mm-hmm. But done like Mexican portrait style.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Big
and then
fan.
Like the.
Big fan.
The years, like when was it? You know?
Yeah. Well, they just did a remake.
I know. So that's when it's going to be the second date on there. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to. You've known this for a while, but the audience doesn't. Like, I want a bunch, but my biggest problem and issue was I still have to take meetings in Hollywood and shit like that. And it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. And I still don't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. In life.
No.
I mean, but I don't.
And here's the thing is like, you know, there's a point where you don't give a fuck anymore
mm-hmm.
and you can just do whatever you want.
You've gone on the other side
like
of
Kurt
that
Sutter.
Mountain.
Kurt Sutter is a great example.
He's like,
fuck it. I'm not on the other side of that mountain, but I'm getting closer. And it's like, so I keep adding tattoos where it's mm-hmm. like, all right, cool. Because, like, once I cross over, then it's going to be a whole lot of fuck you, where it's just like,
right.
Now I'm now I'm tied up the way I need to be.
Hair's
going to
be long.
Yeah.
Mustache is going to be
mustache,
strong.
Mustache, and it's just going to be fuck you, dude. Like, you're literally lucky I'm here, and that's it. But
yeah.
I'm not there yet. It's getting closer, and I keep adding tats here and there
that
you can't see, where you're just like, all right, cool. Short sleeve shirt. You have no idea. I have one tattoo. But that's coming. It's coming. So is the end of Megyn Kelly, by the way. I have an odd prediction on Megyn Kelly. We watched her show for the first time on Sunday night.
Yeah.
With Erin Andrews.
He was up against 60 Minutes, that's dumb. Well,
they're doing it on purpose.
Okay. But that's dumb. It's
Megyn
an institution.
But I'll tell you why. Megyn Kelly's ratings on Fox were the highest in the network, and they were the highest on cable news.
Okay.
Her and Bill O'Reilly.
Yep.
They thought, by, you know, buying her out because she's getting $20 million a year on NBC, which is a lot for a fucking news anchor.
Yeah.
That the ratings would follow her and that it was her and not Fox. What she is quickly finding out is the topics she was talking about on Fox were what actually made Megyn Kelly Megyn Kelly. And it was just like, oh, cool. Here's a hot woman talking about the topics that we want to hear about. Now she switches. And the problem is this. Yeah, she's still hot, but she's not talking about the shit that the right wants to hear about anymore. And it's like, hey, remember that bitchy girl from Fox News who's was like super fucking aggressive to the president and shit like that and doing the thing? Now you're going to switch and pretend to be nice and like open and airy and like, oh my God, I'm going
to
have these fucking non-partisan issues.
Yeah.
Hearts of heart fucking pieces and think pieces. Problem is, I don't buy it. Like, we watched it, and I was like, man, she still seems like a bitch.
Yeah.
And I felt, at least in the Erin Andrews interview, that the role should have been switched. Like, I could see Erin Andrews doing that all goddamn night. Like, That's her
gig.
That's
her shit. Yeah.
She's a pleasant woman.
Yeah.
She's great at interviews and does, she runs the gamut across the board. She does sports. Mm-hmm. She does Dancing with the Stars.
She's a host.
She's like, a host. She does everything. Yeah. She's like Seacrest.
She's a correspondent. She's
like a better Seacrest.
Yes, yes.
Megyn Kelly, though, she still has that cold, that ice queen fucking bitch statue where you're just like, man.
In that slot and what she's trying to do, women have to like you.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't see a lot of guys sitting down and you know, watching these heartfelt interviews. So, because
in the fall, women it's going to be after like football. Yeah.
And if you didn't, like, if you're not getting that, which, like, I already don't like her. I think she's, like I said, I think she's smart and, like, go get it, girl.
And ambitious, yeah.
Go get it, girl. And, like, politically, she knows what the fuck she's talking about for her side, whatever, whatever. But in this format, no.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you piss off the ladies, like, it's really hard to get us back, especially as a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I just, oh, boy.
And even in the Erin Andrews interview, she was, like, a little bit catty. And, like, it was really hard for her to be nice.
And, like, Erin Andrews had just overcome cancer, like, cervical cancer. And you were like, hey, man. This isn't the time for a competition. Like, Erin Andrews has already signed a massive gajillion-dollar deal with Fox.
Right.
The real Fox, not Fox News.
Right.
But, like, you know, she's just dancing with the stars in NFL games and college football.
No,
like,
she's killing it. Yeah.
This isn't her competition right now. It might be in the future, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, let's just sit down and have a nice interview with Erin Andrews, who's been through a fuck ton between the stalker at the goddamn hotels, cervical cancer and all the shit, like,
right,
Jesus, it's pretty easy to root for Erin Andrews. Just be a normal girl talking to another girl in this
be
one.
Cool,
couldn't do it,
be chill,
still seemed like a bitch,
still seemed like a stuffy frozen bitch.
Yeah. And on her first,
like,
week,
her face,
she
is frozen.
Yeah, she had Putin on, and mm-hmm. she got a house by Putin,
right?
This week she had Erin Andrews, and again came off like a bitch with Erin Andrews. The next week, this is where hell hath no fury. She's having Alex Jones on.
Yeah. What makes her think she can handle that?
I don't think she can. And the problem is this. The backlash has been major because, again, everybody's like, I mean, screaming at NBC of like, how the fuck can you have a Sandy Hook denier, you know, on your show?
Mm-hmm.
This is fucking crazy. And apparently,
well, unless you address it.
She was supposed to. She says she's going to. Mm. So now I'm going to watch the fucking interview,
of course.
Of course. Because I think Alex Jones will still
watch,
house her.
We hate her, but we watch like everyone. Well, we got to watch this one. And then we end up watching every show.
It's weird. Like the Putin one, I watched for that exact reason of like, dude, will Putin house her? He did. This Alex Jones one, I'm going to watch. See if Alex Jones houses her, because I think he will.
Or if he's just super fucking weird, because he's going to be super fucking weird and coked up and like just weird.
I don't know.
Not
with him, but with her, like how she's going to deal with it. Like, I mean, fuck, even somebody like me on, I'd house her and it would be real fast.
Right.
Well, you just could not catch up anymore. So I'll be real curious to see what Alex Jones and his fucking weird shit's going to be like.
Right.
And how that's going to play on a Sunday night at 7 p.m. for normal America.
Hmm.
The other thing is she was supposed to host this fundraiser for Sandy Hook, this Sandy Hook gala. And they were like, yo, I mean, they threw her off the board and they were like, fuck you. You're going to have somebody on your show who's a Sandy Hook denier.
Well, that's
like,
stupid.
We're,
I'm sorry.
We're out of here. I don't know. Is
no,
it?
That's stupid. If she addresses it or if she's talking to him in, you know, to find out what the hell he's talking about.
Nobody knows though. And that's the thing, is it's like she could easily have said, hey, I'm going to go after him on the Sandy Hook thing, and that's why I'm having him on the show. She didn't do that. So I don't know what she's going to ask him per se. But well, look, if you're hosting a fucking Sandy Hook gala, like there's nothing more sensitive as a parent. If one of your kids went to Sandy Hook and you got some asshole who's a fucking Sandy Hook denier on the show, and it's like, come on, man. And you're looking at her and you're like, dude, it's cool if it's for ratings, but like, these were kids. These were little kids. Like, fuck you. So I get it. That one I get.
Okay.
I'm not totally off the fucking, you know, reservation on that one. Like, that's that one I understand. But I think her ratings, here's my prediction on her.
But
I think
Putin's okay?
No. Because Putin's not okay, but she was going after Putin.
Okay, so she was supposed to after Alex Jones too.
Well, no, but this is how the interview was being billed with Putin, is that she's going to get tough with Putin and she's going to do this. And you're like, all right, cool. Are you doing the same with Alex Jones? Like, where is that promo? Because they cut these promos before the show airs.
They don't have a promo.
They don't have a promo. Yeah. Okay. And it's like, hey, this is airing in fucking 5 days. Like, I do not have a promo yet.
Mm-hmm.
So real curious is to see what this is and why you don't have a fucking promo for this. Like, those type of interviews you do in advance. It's not like the day before, for Christ's sakes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of strange. Kind of strange to me. My prediction on her is 2 to 3 years, she'll fade. And, you know, she'll become like a Katie Couric, where she's doing like weird online shit. And you're just like, man, what the fuck? She's not likable.
She has a podcast.
Megyn Kelly does?
No.
Oh, Katie Couric. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I Megyn Kelly to me isn't personable enough to do like the Today Show or Hoda and, you know.
No, but she can do political shows. So like,
she
I don't
could,
know why.
But that doesn't fit in primetime. So
okay,
where do you put her? You put her on Fox News. It's kind of the only place she fits.
Yeah.
But she left them. And she said, she said, fuck you guys. I'm out of here. So I don't know. And then not only that, but if she went back to Fox News, what do you tell your viewers? Hey, guys, I was super far right for fucking 10 years. I know I switched to try to be the fucking goody two shoes, you know, street reporter who's right. Non-biased and covering non-biased topics. But now I'm back. I realize my roots. No.
Like, she
people
LeBron's
aren't going to believe
it.
That shit anymore. Yeah,
they,
exactly.
They'll take her back.
I don't think they will.
The winning team.
I think Fox News, if they're smart, reaches out to Tommy Lahren, fucking strikes the biggest deal they can, and let that little fucking
right
that little harlot go
bombshell,
off.
Bombshell. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the more time I think with Tommy Lahren, I think the more time she gets on camera, the better she'll be, and I think she could easily take over Fox News and bring that back to the promised land again if she so chose to. Because right now, you know, Fox was number one in the demos for about 15 years. MSNBC passed them this year. Huh. And the reason being, you got a couple of interesting people. I hate Rachel Maddow. I fucking hate her.
Right.
Boy, words cannot describe my hatred for her. But she puts on an entertaining show.
Right.
It is everything that I disagree with. But if you listen to her and watch her show and try to take a non-biased viewpoint at it, it is an entertaining hour where you're like, all right, great. Looking at Fox News, who is your entertaining hour over there that matches Rachel Maddow? I don't know who that person is anymore. It used to be Bill O'Reilly. He's gone. It used to be Megyn Kelly. She's gone. Tucker Carlson is okay. I don't mind him, but he still looks like the guy that fucking was in my, you know, pledge class, my fraternity pledge class.
He does.
Where it's just like, hey, Tucker, man, you're going to fucking fall asleep again. Like, we're going to get yelled at for you fall asleep. No, dude, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm not going to, you know, he's fucking sleeping. You're like, Tucker, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, the guy who's always stealing your lighters at a party. That's Tucker Carlson to me, where it's just like, you know, you find Tucker at the end of the night. He's got eight lighters in his pocket. And you're like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Whereas Tommy Lahren is like, I think she's just young enough that like you can meld her mind into believing all the shit that she says. And if she gets more screen time, she'll start believing it and really spitting it out with the venom that it needs to be. And she'll be the fucking future of that network. But we'll see. We'll see. That's what I'd like to see happen.
Right.
I'd like to see personalities. Since we're not getting real news anymore, like we talked about on the show all the time. Fuck it. At least bring somebody out with, you know.
At least make it.
I want to. She reminds me of a younger female Ric Flair. You know, that blonde fucking hair and that just. That's what I want. You know what I don't want, though, out of a female? Is this bullshit that was on fucking Bleacher Reports and ESPN. Becca Longo, she's 18. She's got a scholarship. She's a kicker. She's a female kicker, and they're like, she could be the first kicker that goes to the NFL. She could be the first female that plays in the NFL. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be fucking amazing? So? No, I don't. And here's why. I read this article, and I was shocked by it. They were like, oh man, she's got a real chance of playing in the NFL. She could be in the NFL. The problem with this is this. If you get a blocked kick or a punt in the NFL, go back and look at the footage of every kicker and punter that gets destroyed mm-hmm. after that.
Yeah.
And they're dudes. They're fucking dudes.
Right.
As a woman, if I was playing in the NFL and she was a kicker and it was a block kick or a bad play on a kickoff, like I would try to go out there and blow her the fuck up. Just for playing in my sport.
Right.
Like, you know that's going to happen. They're going to go out there and light this fucking girl up.
No, I don't actually think that's going to happen.
I do.
But if they don't, like, they're going to not do it because she's a woman. Do you know what I mean? They're going to not pummel her and destroy her because she's a woman. That's not really how the game's supposed to go.
She's playing football.
So that's what I'm saying.
The game
though,
is to blow up everybody.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, the thing that can't happen is you can't worry about hurting the other player.
No. I don't think anybody's worried about her getting hurt. But I think once she gets blown up like that on national TV, then that's when people are going to be like, "Oh man, she should definitely not be playing with dudes."
Well, she shouldn't though. That's what I'm saying. Is like you can't have even that female ref. It's like you can't have. You can't be in your head about like hurting a woman when you're on the field playing football. Like you can't have that. It's already fucking stressful enough, right?
Right.
Or it's already like I don't know.
I don't think it's on that side. I just think when it does happen, because it will happen, by the way, if she's doing kickoffs as well, and which I don't know. They didn't say that in the article, but if she's doing kickoffs as well as extra points and field goals, something's going to happen where there's a bad snap or a blocked kick and she's going to get fucking lit up.
Yeah.
And the entire crowd is going to gasp and be like, oh my God, they just fucking rocked this girl. And I think that will be the end of that. Because it's there's different sports and different genders and different sports for a reason. Like, look, no matter how good you are in a contact sport like football, if something goes wrong, you're going to get annihilated.
Right.
Absolutely annihilated. You know, I liken it to the WNBA and the NBA. There's a couple female players who can dunk. Same as the men, same mm-hmm. height rim. If you put them in the NBA, they would get their tits knocked off their body into the first or second row of the stands where you're like, oh my God, that was so vicious. I can't watch anymore. And I think something like this is going to happen. I think it's going to make national headlines. And then it's going to be like, oh, fuck.
You know, I'm the biggest feminism denier.
Oh, you are. Yeah, for sure you are.
I'm just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. I think, you know, I asked this question to a buddy of mine. His daughter is in seventh grade and she wrestles. And she wrestles with dudes.
Right.
And I was like, hey, man.
Why, though?
Yes. And that's exactly what I said. I said, why? And he goes, you know what? She came to me and wanted to do it. And it's hard to tell your daughter that she can't do something like men can. So he's cool. He's cool as fuck.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I'm going to let her do it. And then when she gets hurt and realizes she can't do this anymore, she'll come and tell me. But I don't want to take her dream away from her before this happens. I'll let it happen and tell her. But he goes, as a dad, don't think that I'm not worried about it every single second. But he goes, I know something's going to happen. And he goes, I won't be able to prevent it or stop it. But she's got to be the one that's got to come to me and tell me, hey, I can't do this anymore. Because otherwise, as a dad, you're just crushing her dreams or whatever she wants to potentially do mm-hmm. or thinks she can do. And he goes, I don't want to take that away from her. And it's the same thing with this chick.
Right.
Like, I bet you she played in high school.
Yeah.
I bet you, you know, whatever state she's from, she was, you know, headlines in her state of like, oh my God, they get a female kicker and everything else. I bet everybody took it real easy on her. College is a whole different ball game. They are going to light her. Somebody's going to light her the fuck up just to make a name for themselves and just to get themselves on, you know, that one Instagram highlight that is shown on Barstool Sports over and over again in slow motion of them lighting up this fucking girl.
Right. So she kicks a 50-yard field goal in practice and splits the uprights from 45. Is that like a crazy number?
No, It's not. And that's the other thing.
So
when I
like, I would say like 57 is like insane, right?
Going back to that, like her being in the NFL, that is nowhere near fucking good enough. Those NFL kickers, 60, 65 in practice.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem. They have a problem with 60 in practice. Like I was our kicker on our team simply because we didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
I hit 55 once. And that's, you know, fuck. I was still nowhere goddamn near good enough to
even
make
then,
an NFL team.
Be like, sorry, bud.
Yeah.
You're not playing
nowhere
in the
near
NFL.
Good enough
basically.
To be an NFL, like an NFL, like
but
nowhere near
since
it.
Since she kicks 50.
Because she's a girl. That's why.
But
whereas
it can't
a dude,
be like that.
A dude kicking 50, you don't give a shit. I don't even know if they get a fucking scholarship for kicking 50.
Running back busted his shit.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's just me. But look, we'll find out what happens this year. But my guess is she gets lit the fuck up. It's on Instagram, and then that is it. They will humbly retire. Anyway, that what do you change, like the locker rooms? How do you?
What in there's girl locker rooms for other.
No, but when you're a football team, you go into one locker room at halftime, and you talk to everybody, you break down your position, your position coaches.
I'm sure they work it out. I'm not actually worried
about
that. I'm not worried about that part.
Let's say you're in the locker room, like me, there was nothing more that I loved when playing high school football than pull my dick out at halftime.
Pull your dick out.
Yeah.
Rub it on your buddies.
No, not that. There was usually a fan
in
there. I just
face.
Wanted to cool it down. You know?
Sure.
I wanted to cool down the dick and the ball sack. And
right.
Just be like, ugh. Fuck, it's halftime, you know?
Yeah, and just
do that
quick dangle in the wind, right?
Yeah, like a dangle in the wind. Never knowing. But that's just me. That's just
anyways,
me.
I don't think girls should do anything like that.
No. No.
I'm the worst, but it's just like, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No, I'm with you.
Put that energy into something else.
And with that, we're going to put our energy into the revolutionary figure of the day.
Or the day.
this one goes out to Angela Cochran. She was a nose guard and a left end at Highland Hills Junior Football League.
Oh boy.
Colorado, for the Kansas City Chiefs, was their team in the 70s. Apparently, this was like one of the first girls to play organized football.
Cute. I mean, whatever.
Was that true? I don't know. I wasn't there. Also, they didn't really have records of shit like that back then. So who knows? But, you know, if Bruce Jenner could lop his dong back and turn back time.
If I could turn back time.
He could have played sports and just crushed it as a girl. This is the lady. Have you seen his gait, the way he walks?
Yes. I told you he was behind me in Starbucks in Malibu.
It's a weird gait, isn't it?
It's a weird gait, and it's just, you know, gorgeous face for his age.
Yeah.
For his age.
Sure.
Looks great. The right. Boobs are great. Like he got a big size. You know what I mean?
How big would you say? Big C? Small D? What do you...
No, I would say D or double D, yeah.
What?
I mean, he's taller than you.
Well,
so you need a...
I wouldn't go that far. He's probably my height.
No, I think he's taller than you.
I'm a fucking large... I'm 6'3".
I think
he's taller than me?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Plus heels. So like, let's...
Oh, well, the heel... Yeah.
You know?
Right. He's got heels.
Yeah. He had heels on.
You're saying he got D tits, huh? That's a shocker to me.
Yeah, D's not super big.
Well, no, for a dude, like.
Yeah, but he's like I'm saying, he's a big guy, broad shoulders.
Yeah, but when you've never had tits before,
like,
and you're throwing D's, throw some D's on that bitch.
But you need to be in proportion with the body that you have, right? So, you can't put little boobs on a football player. Essentially,
what
he's got: big shoulders, manly. Athletic
D's,
shoulders.
Though, like when you're not used to tits, like D's are, that's a big fucking commitment. That's a big commitment.
Anyways, when they were hitting me in the back of the head, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It was just.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how close he was to me.
Sure.
And
his tit was on your head.
Yeah, and because he wasn't used to it, he didn't like really feel that it was like that. He had no feeling that was happening, you know?
Sure.
Because he was far enough away from me that he just felt like I'm behind this person. I'm not touching them.
Getting some broccoli.
Meanwhile, yeah, his boob is resting on my head because I'm 5'2".
Yeah.
I actually had to be on my tiptoes to like touch his boob with my
head. Sure.
But anyways, yeah, that was a sighting that was, you see celebrities all the time in LA, but that was one where you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
I'm actually like, I feel weird right now.
Yeah.
Just because you feel like he's the type of person that you never see out.
Sure.
Like he's always in hiding and like laying down in the back of some car trying to get away from the paparazzi.
Or killing somebody. Yeah.
Killing someone or getting a fucking appendage cut off or whatever. So I don't know. It was just a weird thing to see him like a normal gal in Malibu Starbucks.
With a wide gate.
No bodyguards, no nothing, just getting a fucking coffee.
Yeah.
Like a normal person. Owning which is your what life. Which is shows you that Kardashians is so not real. Like
sure.
They can really just live their life.
It depends on where you live, but yes, you're correct.
In Malibu and the places that they live, they can really just walk around and like be fine. And they don't have to make it seem like they're always under
attack.
Nobody's
gonna piss on your tree.
They're just not under attack all the time like they make it seem.
Right. Well, I hope this female player makes it, and I hope she makes the NFL.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. She's not going to do it.
but, like, that's cute and everything, like, what she's doing. That's, great. Like, super fun and cute.
It's great. You know what else is super fun and cute?
And, like, I hope that she has fun.
You know what else is super fun and cute?
Shishima.
Zima's and Jolly Ranchers. Big fan. Zima's back, kids. It's going to be a hot summer. Go to RossPattersonRevolution.com for all your t-shirt needs. We got some sweet tri-blends on there. Also, if you want to send some weird shit into the podcast, send it to P.O. Box 3793, Wilmington, North Carolina, 28406. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I am Ross Patterson. We are out of here. Good night, everyone.
Good night.